Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're taking a deep dive into a very specific but very powerful D&B move, how to design and arrange a filtered breakdown so it still feels heavy, intentional, and ominous, even when the sub is partially hidden or completely pulled back. This is not just about putting a bass sound through a low-pass filter and hoping it creates tension. The real goal is to design subweight as part of the arrangement itself. That means the low end still has a pulse. It still has pressure. It still feels connected to the groove, and when the drop lands, the bass doesn't feel disconnected or like it belongs to a different track. It feels earned. That matters a lot in drum and bass, because breakdowns can go wrong in two opposite ways. They can become too empty, and then the track loses its center of gravity. Or they can stay too open and too messy, and then the drop has no contrast. We want the middle ground. We want that feeling where the breakdown is narrowing, squeezing, pressing forward, and setting up the drop with control. This technique works especially well for dark rollers, neuro-influenced D&B, jungle tension sections, halftime adjacent ideas, and club tracks where the sub is a major part of the identity. If you get this right, the breakdown still feels heavy even at low volume, and the drop feels bigger because the low-end story was managed properly. So let's build it the right way. Start with the phrase, not the filter. That's the first big mindset shift. Don't think, I'll write a bass line and then hide it. Think, I'm writing a sub-phrase that already feels musical, and then I'm going to shape how much of it the listener gets to hear. In Ableton Live 12, set up a simple MIDI bass phrase. Keep it short and purposeful. For D&B, two-note answers, octave displacement, or a repeated root with a passing note often work really well. You do not need a wandering line here. You want something that locks into the groove and leaves room for the drums to speak. Use a stock instrument like operator or wavetable. Keep the subsource clean. A sine or triangle style foundation is usually the right starting point. Keep the attack short, and let the release sit somewhere around 30 to 120 milliseconds depending on the feel. No wide modulation, no chorus, no stereo tricks on the sub itself. The foundation needs to stay simple. What to listen for here? Does the bass line still feel strong if you mute the drums? Can you remember the rhythm of the phrase without looking at the piano roll? If the answer is no, fix the line before you touch the sound design. Now split the roll into two layers. This is where the technique really starts to work. Make one track for the sub and another track for the character. The sub track should be your clean mono foundation. The character track is where you put the res, growl, filtered mid-bass, or any more expressive texture. On the character layer, try wavetable or analog, then add auto-filter, saturator, and EQ8. Let that layer do the movement. Let it carry the tension. The sub layer stays more stable and more controlled. A good starting point is to low-pass the character layer somewhere around 90 to 250 Hz during the breakdown, depending on how much edge you want. If you need more aggression, push the saturation a bit harder, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. And if the character layer is stepping on the sub, high-pass it gently somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz so it stays out of the core zone. Why this works in D&B is simple. The low end in club music needs to read as a phrase, not a wash. If the sub already has musical motion, then every filter move becomes an intentional tension decision instead of a rescue operation. At this point, you've got the architecture. Now you shape the movement. Use auto filter on the character layer and automate the cutoff across 8 or 16 bars. But don't sweep it like a generic EDM riser. In D&B, the motion should feel more like pressure changing over time. Think slow narrowing, with small emphasis points, especially in the last two bars before the drop. You might start the cutoff somewhere around 180 to 400 Hz if you want the breakdown to feel murky and restrained. Or you might push it lower, around 80 to 150 Hz, if you want the bass to feel choked and ominous. Just keep the resonance under control. Too much resonance and the low end turns into a narrow whistle, which kills the sense of weight. What to listen for? Does the filter move create anticipation without sounding like an obvious effect? And does the bass still feel connected to the kick and snare phrasing? That connection to the drums is everything. In drum and bass, the breakdown should not sit on top of the rhythm. It should participate in the rhythm. So when you place your bass against your drums, test it in arrangement view with the real kick, snare, breaks, and hats. Let the bass phrase answer the snare. Leave negative space around important hits. Don't force a constant low-end wash through every bar. A varied effective arrangement shape is to let the first few bars establish the filtered weight, then thin the harmonics a little, then bring back a hint of contour, and finally tighten hard in the last bar before the drop. That creates a proper tension arc. It makes the drop feel like a release of pressure instead of just the next loop starting. This is also where amplitude control matters. Subweight is not only frequency content. It's also how the bass breathes. Use utility for mono control on the sub layer. If you need it, add a little compression, but keep it gentle. You can also automate tiny level changes, like dropping the sub by 1 or 2 dB in the half bar before the drop, then bringing it back on the downbeat. That kind of tiny movement can make the drop feel much bigger without adding clutter. If the breakdown sounds huge in solo but falls apart when the drums come back, stop and check the sub against the kick and snare together. Very often the issue is too much energy in the 60 to 90 Hz range, or release tails that are too long. In that case, don't just turn it up more, tighten it. Make it cleaner. Then rebuild the sense of weight with harmonics and arrangement. That brings us to one of the most important advanced ideas in this lesson. Translation. A pure sine sub can disappear on smaller systems, especially when the breakdown is filtered. So if you want the weight to translate, give the listener a little extra harmonic information. Saturator is great for this. Drum bus can work too, if you keep it restrained. Even a lightly driven redux on the character layer can help. The goal is not distortion for its own sake. The goal is to create just enough upper information that the ear still feels the missing fundamental. In a dark D&B context, that's what gives you menace. The bass sounds like it's sitting under the track, not floating on top of it. If the result starts sounding fuzzy instead of heavy, you've gone too far. Bring it back. The best sign is when the bass still feels powerful, but the snare stays clear and the low end doesn't smear. Now we make the arrangement decisions. There are really two valid flavors here. One is hidden thrust. The other is ominous reveal. Hidden thrust means the sub stays more audible, while the character layer gets filtered harder. The notes stay shorter. The release is tighter. The energy stays alive through the breakdown. This is great for rollers or tracks, where the breakdown needs to keep the momentum moving. Ominous reveal means you hide the bass more aggressively at first, then bring back some weight in the last one or two bars. That creates a stronger feeling of the room opening up when the drop hits. This is great if you want a bigger dramatic payoff. If your drop is already busy, hidden thrust is usually the better move. If your drop is sparse and forceful, ominous reveal can hit harder. Both are valid. The right choice depends on what the rest of the track is doing. If you need to decide whether the breakdown is working, mute the character layer first, not the sub. If the section dies completely when you remove the character layer, then the weight is being faked by harmonics instead of supported by the sub line. That's a very useful check. Another great check is mono. Put the section in mono and listen for whether the bass still tells you where the bar line is. If the groove becomes vague, the breakdown is probably leaning too much on width or stereo texture. Keep the sub dead center and reserve width for the mids and the atmospheres above the low-end core. Once the motion feels right, commit it to audio. This is a big workflow move in advanced D&B. If the identity of the breakdown depends on a specific filter sweep, saturation edge, or resampled texture, print it. Freeze and flatten it, or resample it, then work with the audio. That gives you more control over timing and lets you make the transition more intentional. After printing, you can slice for tighter edits, reverse one or two end hits, trim low-end tails that are getting in the way, or add tiny fades between phrases. That kind of audio treatment often makes a D&B breakdown feel much more surgical and mechanical in a good way. Name your printed versions clearly. Something like Break Bass Print and Break Bass Print B is enough. That way you can compare a cleaner version against a dirtier version without losing momentum. Then focus on the last one or two bars. This is where you sell the drop, but don't overexpose the sub. You can open the filter slightly, shorten the note lengths, reduce reverb or delay sends, or create a tiny gap right before the downbeat. Often the strongest move is not to make the bass bigger, but to make it tighter. That tightening motion is very powerful in D&B. It makes the breakdown feel like it's compressing inward. Then when the drop lands, the release feels physical. If the kick and bass hit together, but blur at the transition, shorten the sub release or pull some of the low-mid character down around 120 to 250 Hz. That often clears the space just enough for the kick transient to stay readable. And here's the bigger arrangement idea. The breakdown is not a calm section. It is a pressure ramp. Every couple of bars should either narrow, tighten, increase contrast, or prepare the room for the drop. Think of it as controlled tension, not decorative ambience. A very strong habit is to check the breakdown at three different playback levels: very quiet, medium, and loud. At low volume, does the bass phrase still imply motion? At medium volume, does the sub feel connected to the drums? At loud volume, Does the low end stay controlled instead of blooming into mud? That simple test tells you a lot. Remember this too, if you have to choose between a luxurious tail and a cleaner transition, choose the cleaner transition in most club DNB. A slightly shorter tail that lands hard usually beats a beautiful tail that smears into the drop. Alright, let's recap the core idea. You're building subweight as a two-part system. One part is a stable mono sub foundation. The other part is a filtered character layer that carries tension and emotion. The breakdown should not empty out. It should narrow, pressure up, and set up the drop with control.